Good morning, church. Very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Today is the 28th of April, 2024, and we all know that traditionally, the last Sunday of April, we have our communion. So that's why places are quite colorful today, including myself. On behalf of our parish and congregation, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. After the service, you are invited to join us at our church hall for teas and for coffees. Just to make this announcement, during communion, please, when you receive the bread, just hold on to it. And then the wine will also be served. We will ask ourselves to take the bread and the wine together. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 98, verse 1 to 6. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing. With trumpets and blasts of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 127, O worship the King, all glorious above.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in whom all wisdom and truth abides, we approach your presence with humble hearts, seeking the clarity and guidance that only your Spirit can provide. In the midst of confusion and the complexities of our days, ground us in your wisdom that we may live not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity you grace us with. We confess, O God of grace, that too often we have walked in foolishness rather than in the wisdom you offer. We have squandered time, overlooked opportunities for kindness, and neglected your call to understand your will. Forgive us for the moments we have chosen paths that lead away from you, and for the times our actions have not reflected the love and grace you have shown us. Renew our spirits, Lord, and fill us with your holy presence, that we may sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music from our hearts to you. Teach us to give thanks in all circumstances, acknowledging your providence in every aspect of our lives. May our journey through this confusing world be a testament to your enduring grace and wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, 392.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, reading from verse 10 to 16. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Sela sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a mighty man. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. And our New Testament reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. Let's join together singing hymn 561, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with open hearts and eager minds, seeking the light of your wisdom as we meditate from your holy word. Illuminate our understanding and rekindle in us the fire of your love, that with enlightened minds and inflamed hearts, we may receive all that you reveal to us today. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us reflect on the theme, living wisely in a confusing world. Living wisely in a confusing world. The book, The Art of Living, the classical manual on virtue, happiness, and effectiveness, was written by the Stoic philosopher Epictetus and later interpreted by Sharon Lebel. Lebel's interpretation is a modern version of Epictetus' teaching that highlights Stoic wisdom on how to live virtuously and effectively. The central argument of the book suggests that personal tranquility and effectiveness stem from mastering control over one's own perceptions and actions, rather than being swayed by external factors. This principle is mirrored in Ephesians, which encourages a deliberate and discerning life, walking not as unwise, but as wise. And both texts advocate for a reflective approach to life's challenges, emphasizing that wisdom lies in recognizing and seizing control over what is within our individual power. In Ephesians 5:15-20, the Apostle Paul instructs us on how to navigate our lives in a wise manner amidst the challenges and complexities of our times. Let me share with you five important themes that I have developed from the text. The first is living as wise, not as unwise. Paul begins with a caution. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in a world where distractions abound, where moral lines are often blurred, Paul's words are a clarion call to mindfulness and prudence. To live wisely is to live intentionally, conscious of our actions and their impacts, not only on ourselves, but on the world around us. And then secondly, making the most of every opportunity. That speaks to the urgency and importance of our actions. Each moment holds potential for good or ill. Wise living involves recognizing these opportunities and acting in ways that reflect our faith. In these evil days, as Paul describes them, our choices matter even more. They are our testament to the strength and conviction of our faith. And then thirdly, understanding God's will. Paul urges us not to be foolish, but to understand what the Lord's will is. This understanding is not about having all the answers, but about seeking alignment with God through prayer, scripture, and community. It involves a humble and open heart, ready to be led by the Spirit rather than our own desires. And then we are called to be filled with the Spirit. Instead of indulging in fleeting pleasures like drunkenness, which leads to loss of control and moral compromise, we are called to be filled with the Spirit. And this feeling comes from engaging deeply with spiritual practices, worship, singing hymns, sharing spiritual songs, and encouraging one another in faith. These activities not only strengthen us, but also build up the community around us. And then finally, giving thanks always. Paul reminds us of the power of gratitude. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In every circumstance, gratitude reorients us from our challenges to the blessings we often overlook. It transforms our perspective, and in doing so, our priorities and actions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, many of us live our lives in very unwise and unaccountable ways, or what some will call the double life. And we sometimes realize the folly of that kind of life only a little too late. Martin was a man of charm and charisma, well-liked by his peers and colleagues. At church, he would nod sagely during sermons, his face a mask of devout attention. However, once he stepped outside, the mask would fall. Martin was notorious for his careless living. He squandered his earnings on lavish parties and expensive liquor, reveling in the admiration of his equally reckless friends. At work, his attitude was no better. He resisted any form of control or authority. Feedback from his managers was met with disdain, and rules were things for others to follow, not him. This resistance to guidance extended to his spiritual life. The church leadership, concerned about his well-being, would gently offer counsel, only to be met with Martin's cold rebuff. Throughout his life, Martin had been anchored by several steadfast friends and family members. They had supported him through tough times, offering financial and emotional support when he was at his lowest. Yet Martin remained ungrateful, taking their kindness for granted and never once acknowledging their help beyond a cursory thanks. His greatest vice, however, was his love for alcohol. What started as social drinking soon turned into a need. Martin was often seen more at the bar than at any community or family event. This indulgence was his ultimate undoing. One evening, as Martin drove home from yet another night out, his vision blurred and his thoughts clouded by drink, he crashed his car. The accident was severe, leaving him with long-term injuries that made it impossible for him to work. His so-called friends vanished, unwilling to help someone who could no longer keep up with their extravagant lifestyle. Financially strained and physically impaired, Martin found himself alone, and the job he had scorned was now a lost treasure. The church community he had resisted was the only one that stepped forward, yet the help came with a hard truth spoken by the pastor, echoing Paul's words from Ephesians. Lying in his hospital bed, Martin reflected on his life. The sermon on living wisely, which he had heard countless times, finally began to resonate. He realized how his foolishness had led him to this downfall. Slowly, Martin started to change. He reached out to those he had pushed away, apologizing for his past behavior, and began to truly engage with the church's teachings. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called upon to live wisely in a confusing world. Martin's story is a reminder of how easily one can fall when they choose to live a life contrary to the wisdom offered by faith. It took losing almost everything for Martin to appreciate the true value of living wisely, as taught by the Apostle Paul. His journey towards redemption was long and fraught with challenges, but it was also a testament to the power of transformation through faith and humility. In a world rife with confusion and temptation, the story serves as a cautionary narrative about the consequences of living unwisely and the redemptive power of returning to spiritual roots. Dear brothers and sisters, let us then heed these words. Let us walk wisely, seize our opportunities, seek to understand God's will, be filled with the Spirit, and live a life of constant gratitude. May our days be testimonies of God's grace as we navigate this confusing world with the wisdom that comes only from above. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for inviting us not only to listen to you, but to participate in the blessings which you give to your people. We ask you now to bless the offering which we have given and multiply them according to your divine wisdom and use them to spread your love and truth. In the complexities of our world, as we strive to live wisely according to your divine counsel, we bring before you our prayers of intercession. We ask for your grace and mercy upon those who are entangled in the throes of addiction and those who live lifestyles that squander the precious gifts you have bestowed upon them. Bring them healing, Lord, and guide them back to the path of righteousness and sobriety. We pray for the ungrateful and for those who have strayed from the wisdom of their communities and your divine will. Open their hearts to the voices of those who mean well, that they may discern your voice in the counsel of the wise. Restore their spirits and lead them out of confusion and despair. Lord, we ask for your healing mercies to be upon all those suffering in body or spirit, and for the gift of continuous good health for us all. Comfort those who mourn. Wrap your loving arms around them and grant them peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray for the leaders of our nations and communities that they may govern with justice, wisdom, and compassion. May their decisions lead to peace and prosperity, reflecting your love and righteousness. We give thanks for your church and its mission in the world. Thank you for its role in guiding us, teaching us, and helping us to walk wisely amidst confusion. Bless its leaders and congregants, that it may continue to be a place of your light and truth. Finally, Lord, we pray for the peaceful repose of the souls of those who have passed on to glory. May they rest in the eternal comfort of your presence, and may their loved ones find solace and strength in your unending love. In all things, we give you thanks, Almighty God, for your guidance and providence. Help us to live each day in gratitude and faithfulness, walking wisely as we navigate this world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. As we prepare for the sacrament of Holy Communion, our next theme is number 19, Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads on High. Dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have desired to receive God's grace and love in the communion of the Lord's table. Many as we are one body. Therefore, acknowledge each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." If you are able, please stand. Let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and wine, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart to the holy use and mystery for which he has appointed them. And as he blessed these holy things and gave thanks, let us also come near to him and present our prayers and our thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Yes, it is indeed right, our highest joy and deepest duty, to give thanks to you at all times and in all places, but most especially on this day, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who have conquered the grave, breaking the bonds of death, and opened to us the way of eternal life. As we celebrate the resurrection of your beloved Son, we join the heavenly hosts and the whole creation which you have made to praise you, we say with joy, "Holy, holy, holy. Earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Let us pray. In your boundless mercy, you sent your Son to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, proclaiming his death, celebrating his resurrection, and looking forward to his coming again in glory, we offer you, O God, this bread and this cup. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who partake at this table may be filled with the joy of your eternal kingdom, where death is no more and all tears are wiped away. Unite us in faith, hope, and love, that we may be your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Our Lord, come. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, my body which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way also after the supper, he took the chalice. And when he had blessed and given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink of it, all of you. My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me." Happy are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come now with faith and repentant hearts to the table which the Lord has prepared for us. Take and eat of his bread of life and drink of his cup of salvation with thanksgiving. You now have your bread and your wine in your hands. Eat the body of Christ broken for you on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink the blood of Christ shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Having now by faith received the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, let us give thanks. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn is number 514, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching Us to War. in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.